please like, comment, and subscribe.
Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast, Kicking It with Kim and Tora. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode.
We have four great topics today, and we're going to just jump right in with topic number one.
Which is censorship, which is something that we touched on last week and indicated that we will circle back to this week anyway. And in between last week's podcast and today, I have been censored by TikTok. Now, I have been censored before because I tend to be a truther, so I'm putting things out there that they don't want folks to know. I've had videos taken down, no biggie. Yeah. But this time, they were slick about it. I posted around 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I put the video up. They were showing the video on my TikTok page. But by like 4 hours later, I had 0 views. And I mean, I never have like no views at all. Mm-hmm. So I had someone look it up and snapshot it and send what my page looked like on their phone to me. And that video wasn't even there. I posted that video maybe 2 or 3 days ago. I look at my account now and I tell you that video still only has 38 views.
That lets you know. Absolutely. They shadow banned you because they want to control the narrative. Everybody knows.
And the thing is, I mean, I kind of think I'm going to pull back on my hashtags because I kind of think my hashtags maybe alerted them as to border crisis, stuff like that.
It's the algorithms too. Because I remember I posted a video and for the first 5 minutes, it was kept saying zero. And then I kept refreshing it. Then I saw 100, then I saw 200. And then I was like, oh, so you had to wait and make sure that it was something you approved of. And I didn't have any hashtags on this video because it was a challenge. It was like, you can win $5,000 if you use this sound and this challenge. So the only hashtag was the then and now glow up or grow up or something challenge. So I was like, ooh, yes, I want to do this. And that was the only way you could get in is if you use that hashtag, but that was the only one. Mm-hmm. So it really is an algorithm thing where they are looking for images. Like, I really think it's AI imaging everything. Voice recognition.
And it took a very long time for that video to be posted. Some of my videos take a long time to get posted, but I never really had them shadow ban me. I know it's shadow banning if I can see it on my page and they're pretending they posted it, but nobody else can see it on my page.
And I watched it. I went to your page to watch it.
Okay.
And normally your videos pop up on my page, on my For You page. Mm-hmm. That didn't pop up. That's why I was like, wait a minute, when did you post this? Because it was right after, you know, we did ours. I saw that video and I'm like,
right.
Why isn't it generating anything? Like, this is important information.
And the crazy thing is that the next day I did a video about having been shadow banned, mm-hmm. and that video has hundreds of views. They don't mind throwing that on the For You.
Oh yeah.
The video wasn't even in my mind all that incendiary. It was about the fact that Texas had sent its border patrol down to the border and they built some barriers and the friggin' border patrol start cutting the barriers, cutting wire to let immigrants in. So Texas sued them. And then the Supreme Court, well, the district court prohibited the federal government from cutting any more wires. But the Supreme Court now issued an order saying, we disband that injunction. We're not prohibiting them from doing anything. And now 27 other red states have joined in with Texas. So we've got Donald Trump called for them to do it. We've got 28 red states that have all banded together to protect our southern border, which I think is great. But none of that, all of that is just news. It's just literal news. It's not me pushing a certain viewpoint. It's not me making anything up, even though at the end I say it and I stand by. Mm-hmm. Not only do we need the Republican states supporting Texas, we need the Democratic states to jump up and support them too, because immigration is destroying our country. It just, there's no way around it. There are too many.
Way of life.
We can't avoid it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the way of life, even the labor, I don't understand how everybody's supporting it. Like, the labor is just what we are used to as far as labor. They're selling it so much cheaper that nobody's making any money. Nobody. You know, what you used to pay for something, they'll do it for half the price, and that's driving other companies out of business. It's almost like every other day there's a grand opening and a grand closing, and then that market is with someone of a border race, put it that way, whether it's, you know,
Venezuelan, Mexican,
Mali, all of them. You know, I'm not just talking about the Hispanic race. And the reason
talking primarily about Hispanics, because that's what I see. That's mm-hmm. what's impacting us in this area. That's what I see in other mm-hmm. cities and states. And I'm not trying to be racist. I'm saying there are too many.
Mm-hmm.
We are overwhelmed financially, space-wise, just ability to absorb them. There are too many. And if the federal government doesn't have sense enough to bring it to an end, then I'm all on board for the state holding down there with their National Guards and shutting it down. Shut it down.
This is what the new, because I get my news and they can get mad at me all they want. But I get my news from TikTok, a lot of it. Because it's a lot of it's coming from the actual mouth of people. Right. And they're saying they went to the border and they told those people in Spanish, do you want to join our military? You get free housing, you get a check, you get food, you get healthcare, they named all of this stuff for them to join our military.
But they're not even only doing that at the border, because so many of them are here already.
Mm-hmm.
Making that offer to them too. You don't have to have a
high school
diploma. You don't have to be an American citizen. And if you
can have tattoos now.
And if you are successful in your military tour, when you get out, you can be made a citizen.
Yep.
And you remember when they would show those caravans, and it wasn't just families, it was men.
Men.
People were commenting, these are military age men. We all saw it coming. Yep. We all saw it coming.
Because I didn't see it coming. I didn't think I thought they were just mainly using them to help with infrastructure. That's what I thought.
I thought that either those people were going to invade us from the inside out, or they were going to join our military, because Americans are very aware of how our government starts wars to take resources from other places,
mm-hmm.
using
mm-hmm.
false flags, like, I won't name any, but we all know the famous ones where they pretend things. They just really did that by killing those three Black soldiers. That's what they do. They'll make, you know, some kind of drone strike over in the Middle East that killed.
But I don't think soldiers. It works anymore.
It doesn't work for Americans.
You just shoot people up and be like, let's join, let's get them back. But they're on to them and they're not joining up. People are just not using the military as their, you know, go-to. If I don't want to go to trade school or college, I'll go in the military. People aren't using that anymore.
Americans have awakened.
No.
I also think that there's so many veterans who have come back mm-hmm. from Afghanistan, from Beirut, from all these kinds of places and said, this, first of all, mentally, they're having issues.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, some of them are on YouTube saying, look, these are senseless wars. When I went over there, we were guarding poppy fields. What does that have to do with what our mission is supposed to be? So I think the Americans are too awake. I mean, there are a lot of sleepy sheep who are gonna, I've seen a couple people saying, yeah, they killed those soldiers. That's something to go to war for. So there's always gonna be that segment that doesn't get it. But these people coming across the border from impoverished nations, I mean,
people have stopped saying that. Well, I'm gonna say Blacks. Blacks people have stopped saying that because they're more so looking out for themselves now, because for years we looked out for every race, every creed, everyone but ourselves. So now people are like, if you want to go that route and keep listening to those people over there, then you go on. We're not doing it. You know, we're not doing it. And I think that's why a lot, I don't know if you noticed it, they're not saying it. Oh, well, this was kind of like segueing into the next topic on food, maybe.
Okay.
But there's so much stuff being put into our food, and that you can't even eat it or store it the way you used to. Like, you could cook your dinner and leave it on the stove for, you know, your family members to come eat it. It's almost being told, do not do that. And I am a witness, because I had to go investigate, because I got violently sick from shrimp and noodles that were only left on the stove for an hour. That's it. It was cooked, left on the stove in a cast iron skillet with a lid over it for an hour. And I was violently, and that was all I had. And it was so bad that they were like, you're just going to have to run its course. I'm like, so what happened?
Essentially, it was food poisoning.
It was food poisoning.
That had been left on your stove for an hour.
1 hour. And that is dangerous with the noodles and the rice and the way they are preserving it now, or pasteurizing stuff now. They are saying that once you cook the food, eat it immediately. There is no more, you know, waiting around till dad comes home or mom comes home. Eat it now. And they said, if you can't, it's only good in the refrigerator for 1 day now.
Well, I don't know what they're talking about, because I'm going to be honest with you. I've been knowing for a while that they, like my grandmother, I grew up with her. She would cook food, leave it on the stove. We'd come in, eat.
Me too.
I grew up with that. But I've known for a number of years that within about 30 minutes, you got to get that food into the fridge, because bacteria starts forming once it cools down. I've done that for several years, but
I'll never do it again.
I'm an empty nester now, and I put my food in the fridge. Mm-hmm. I also have a practice of making my food like at the beginning of the week or on.
So does my son.
And even I still do that. I do that.
Meal prep.
Yeah, I do that all the time. I have a fruit salad. I have a garden salad. I'll have some kind of pasta or zoodle or something, some kind of dish that I've made. And I have pasta and spaghetti sauce in the fridge right now. I'm not gonna eat it tonight. I'm gonna eat it tomorrow. And I made it Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Or I want to say, well, I guess that'd be yesterday. I think I made it yesterday or Sunday, maybe Sunday. And you know, but I respect what you're saying, because you actually experienced it. So maybe it's, I eat, you know, organic. My noodles are made from millet and brown rice and organic wheat. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe the organic piece is helping me. I don't know. But Tora, I put my food in the fridge all the time and have it for 3-4 days.
And I know that, It was the food, because we ate the same thing. My husband and I ate the same thing. He ate his within minutes of cooking it. And me, I was like, when I wake up, you know, I'll have mine. And he was like, no, eat now. So then about an hour later after he ate, he brought my food to me. And it went quick. Like, it went through to, like, my body knew. So then I was like, what do you think, you know, that was? So he was like, it can't be, you know, it couldn't be the food. So then the next day he ate the food.
Out of the fridge.
And out of the fridge. He heated it up in the microwave. And, you know, he thinks that that kills bacteria.
He is supposed to kill bacteria.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if I don't know about in the microwave. I don't know one way or another, but I know in the oven, on the stove, he kills bacteria. So he's not wrong. Well,
when I looked it up, it was saying that the new way of them harvesting food and making food for us, the microwave amplifies the bacteria.
That's so possible, because the microwave is a microwave and it uses waves of radiation. It's not the same as the fire. I try to heat my food on the stove or in the toaster oven.
That's what we do.
Let's face it, I am a human being. Sometimes I put my food right in the microwave and I have not gotten sick. But the fact that you got sick and then he ate it after it's been so now you guys are of the impression that you cook the food, you eat it, and that's it.
And that's it. So we're going to do the same thing, like you said, with the empty nester thing. Just eat a portion, make a portion for us, and just, you know, be done with it. There's no more waiting for a couple of days. Because my mom, who doesn't even live in this state, she did that with her Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
Violently sick. She bought it early in the day at lunch. She left it out. She said she was going to eat it around 5 o'clock. She bought it at lunchtime. She said she was going to eat it about 4:30, no later than 5 o'clock, because she gets off from work at that time. So she heated it up in the microwave, violently sick.
So the thing is that I do eat like pad thai, vegetable lo mein, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And I buy it and it's a big old portion. Mm-hmm. And I eat and I buy spring rolls and I eat some and I put it in the fridge and I eat off it the next few days because it's too much. Mm-hmm. If I buy Chipotle, I eat some today. I put it in the fridge and the next 2 days I eat it because it's just too much. Wow. I do that all the time, Tora.
So that scares me. And the reason, and let me tell you, this is why I got really scared. Because when you dive in, when you feel as sick as I felt, which I was like, oh, I better start calling everybody, tell everybody I love them, because it was so scary. So I started investigating, you know, this process. I found out that it's going on, maybe 70% of the celebrities and millionaires of the world are vegans.
Well, you know, that's a point too. I am pescatarian, so I'm only eating fish, seafood. I don't mm-hmm. eat any other meat. I don't, mm-hmm. I mean, I always hate milk. I just hate milk.
Yeah, I don't eat milk either.
I eat some cheese, but even with the new recipes I've been trying, I've been saying, why are they, I'm not doing the ones with all that cheese. They're addicted to cheese and I don't need that amount of cheese in my system. But I wonder, because I'm organic, because I'm not eating meat. But you said shrimp and noodles. That's not
meat. Yeah, it was just the main ingredients in it was the shrimp and noodles. Now I had some vegetables, carrots and stuff like that, steamed carrots and greens and broccoli. It had other things, but the main ingredient was the shrimp and the noodles. And they were saying that the combination of the noodles sitting out was what made me ill.
You're saying it's primarily, they're saying primarily the noodles and the rice that are a problem?
The noodles and the rice. And it's not even Brasilla or Brazil, or it's not even, name brand. It's all the way it's being pasteurized. It's all the way it's being developed and created and harvested. And it's not even about the shelf life and it's going bad. It's just that the ingredients they're using is just so toxic that they shouldn't even, once they are awakened, they shouldn't even be, you know, eaten. So we're taking a chance just eating it, but then leaving it out and letting the bacteria grow on it makes it even more deadlier. And I've never had that problem. I'm telling you, girl, I've fixed Thanksgiving dinner, put it in the oven, my plate in the oven, went to sleep, woke up and went, heat my plate up and eaten for years. Nothing's ever happened.
On an occasion like that, we do that. We leave the food out. Everybody, they come back, they get seconds, and then
nobody's ever got
done. I wrap all that stuff up and put it away. But in my day-to-day life, I tend to put my food away before it's cold, because mm-hmm. I had learned that some years back. But you know, obviously, they're trying to poison us, and I don't care who believes it or not.
They're trying
to poison us, and they're trying to shorten our lifespan. As a matter of fact, I went to pick up some wine and spirits today, mm-hmm. and I don't even drink American. I haven't. If I'm at somebody's house and they give me American wine, I'll drink it. I don't drink American wine anymore.
I don't drink wine from
Napa Valley because of this glyphosate. That thing in Roundup in it. They had tested a series of the wines like Sutterholm, Behringer.
Those all gave me massive migraines.
Okay, not even those ones. There's some other ones, I can't remember them because I stopped drinking them, but some more pricey ones that are from Napa Valley that I used to drink. And there was a research experiment done about, I want to say 5 years ago or so, and they found that all that soil, all those wines had glyphosate in it. And that's, it's because so the soil is contaminated. So I like the wines that I get, they come from France, they come from Italy. Most of my spirits come from Europe.
Does the ingredients say it? Like, how can we know which ones were made with the glyphosate in it?
It's not that they're made with it, it's that the grapes
harvesting the grapes and then that soil.
And then all the soil has been contaminated with that.
Is this the one where they have to put on like a whole outfit because the soil is so contaminated that they can't just... spray it.
What they're spraying when they put that outfit on. I've seen them, but the glyphosate is not supposed to be used on our food because, as you're aware, Bayer, that owns Roundup now, is paying out money because remember that janitor got cancer from spraying that? Yeah. So now they're not supposed to be using that, but it's been used so much that it's in most of the soil. So I just don't even, it would be a lovely thing to go to Napa and visit the one. No, ma'am. I mean, I'll go to Napa.
Drinking
that wine. I'm going to be getting me some Italian or French wine because, you know, even with the so-called organic food that I eat, I can't help but wonder, you know, how much cross-contamination has happened.
And that happens a lot. That happens because we, of course, I think we've mentioned this on past shows, but my grandparents had and my great-grandparents had a farm, and they always burned ashes to keep the bugs away, you know, sprinkled the ashes or, you know, lit the ashes that came, the black soot that came from, you know, the ashes, and would just sprinkle that on the garden, which we never got sick from anything. Like never. We didn't have any allergies. We didn't have, and they all lived way in their 80s and 90s. I don't see this generation making it with what they're doing. I just, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just saying, it's so much toxic stuff that's in our food and air and everything.
In the water, in the food.
Did you hear about the water?
In the products, like when people are buying sofas and stuff, and they're sprayed with flame retardants, all the carpets and stuff, all that's toxic to us.
All that's toxic. So
everywhere you look, they're constantly pouring and infusing toxins into
us. People can say whatever they want, but if you did not grow up around like cigarette smoke or any type of thing that can block your senses from smelling things, I smell stuff a mile away. And I used to, my granddaughter, she could smell food and be like, mm-mm. And now that the food that she didn't used to want to even put in her body, I feel like it makes me sick now. I really do. Like, I used to love ketchup. Now I smell it and it smells like a toxin to me.
Oh, girl, I use ketchup all the time because French fries are a favorite of mine.
Yep.
I put ketchup on my eggs. I put ketchup on a lot of stuff, but I buy organic ketchup.
I just started buying organic,
ketchup, and I go through those bottles a lot, you know.
I literally have the original one that is full to the top, and I have the organic one that has like this much in it because I notice it now. And I can't believe how she was born with such a smell that she would be like, mm-mm. And now I actually...
chemicals. Those non-organic ones are just filled with chemicals. So that's not something that's supposed to be in our bodies anyway. No. And speaking of all of that, what about, as you mentioned, the aging process for millennials and Gen Z? Because they've grown up on all these toxic chemicals.
You heard about how they did a compared side by side. They did a whole body scan of a 50-year-old to a 25-year-old. The 25-year-old was way in its 70s.
Oh, yes. That's one where they figure out what age your actual body systems are.
Yes.
What I've been saying,
50-year-old was literally 25 years old.
Oh, wow.
Based off of the fact that, you know, they exercise, eat right. They weren't smoking and they weren't vaping and they weren't using too many hair chemicals and products. It was everything.
The lotions, the soap.
Lotions, the soaps.
Everything, the perfume. Like, I
haven't
used perfume for several years now. I just use oils.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter gave me a beautiful organic one for Christmas that I've been using. But what I've been seeing on the internet is millennials, which I guess are in their 30s or something, posting pictures of Gen Z, which are supposed to be late teens or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it is true. And showing how those Gen Z folk look older than the millennials, which is mind-blowing. I mean, it's all over the internet and they're talking all this crap about it. And my thing is, do we really blame them for inheriting the freaking toxic world that we never did anything to prevent, because I'm not going to talk about them negatively. We could give them some advice, but they don't want our advice. They don't want our advice.
They don't want to listen.
They want a joint. They want some cheeseburgers from McDonald's. They want a Popeye's chicken sandwich. They want that stuff.
And, I call them the black gums, black lip generation. I can walk up to all of them and just look. Like, if, when I'm in a crowded place and I look and I'm just like, wow, do they even know that their gums and lips are just black? Like, from, do they not know that my dad smoked weed since he came home from Vietnam until the day he died? And you would have never known. Whatever was in his weed did not turn his lips black. And
my lips were black. It's just still probably a little dark. I don't know if it's from that anymore. I quit so long ago. Mm-hmm. It can't be from that. But I don't think the weed that they smoke now is the weed that was out back in our day, because they just seem to have it. And weed used to be something that
it was recreational.
You could quit it at will. Yeah. You could do it when you wanted to or not.
It was no withdrawal. So,
your kids are Gen Z. Gen Z. My kids are Gen Z.
Definitely mine.
And your kids don't look all ancient like these people they're showing on these.
Well, see, that's because I'm strict.
Like, you know, they're looking 40, like they're ready, like they have a family.
Oh,
my
yeah.
kids don't look like that.
Well, I was strict on their upbringing. So I read labels, you know, for what they put in their bodies, because they were already allergic to tree nuts, peanuts, eggs, seafood. So I had to read everything. And of course, everyone's, you know, mourning the death of the young lady who was a dancer who ate, you know, the prepackaged cookies, and
I didn't label correctly. I don't know anything about that. I don't know.
Really? It was a dancer, a young girl. I think she was 22. She went to the store, bought some cookies, and the label was not correct.
And
her EpiPen didn't work. And she had two, I think. She had two EpiPens, but it was too late. They didn't work. And she actually died from anaphylactic attack, which is something where your throat closes up when you eat something you're allergic to.
It's critical that they put those ingredients. A lot of people, especially these days, a lot of people are born with tons of allergies.
And you don't even know, but she knew, but a lot of people don't know. Like, every day, I'm becoming allergic to certain things. Like, we went on this whole watermelon cleanse. Oh my God, I will always recommend it. There was a Spanish guy in our neighborhood who would bring the watermelons that had the black seeds, which if the government found out, I took all those seeds and put them in my freezer and vacuum sealed them so I can at least grow them this summer. But I didn't get sick one time, not one time from that watermelon that he was bringing. They stopped him from selling those in our neighborhood completely. I mean, confiscated his truck, locked him up. I don't know if they deported him.
I wonder what the grounds were for all of that, but okay.
I mean, it was the best. And so then I went and tried to do the same thing and go to Sam's Club and buy the watermelon. Didn't work.
I've been eating watermelon now through this season, and I've been getting it from Costco. Mm-hmm. I've gotten some from Mom's. I've actually gotten some from Aldi's.
Mom's and Aldi's, I still think, have the organic ones with some seeds in it. Like, they say you still can find some seeds in there. But the one at Sam's Club, zero seeds, made me sick, made Antoine have high blood pressure. They were like, you got whatever you're doing, you got to stop. No, not high blood, pre-sugar diabetes.
But I remember, because I remember juicing the watermelon and putting it on that video on TikTok. Mm-hmm. But I've been eating.
That's where I got it from. I got it from you.
Well, it's a good way to cleanse the body, but I don't know what's going on now.
Everyone was giving me compliments. It was like, what are you doing? Like, what kind of regimen are you? What are you doing? Like,
and it makes your skin
only clear. Yes, watermelon. Watermelon has me glowing up. And now I don't know where I'm going to get the seed watermelon unless I grow my own. So I'm not buying seeds.
When they're back in season again, I always get my seeded watermelon from Wegmans. But when they're out of season, you know, catch what you can, because maybe the farmer's market, there's a nice farmer's market in Silver Spring that maybe, I'll check.
Yeah, I've been to that one before.
Yeah, so maybe they might have it.
And that's what I miss about the Obamas, because let me tell you, she used to have it right on New York Avenue, a whole Farmers Fruit Market. Every morning when I used to take Antoine up to DC, I would stop there and I would get the freshest cucumbers, watermelon, celery, carrots. Everything was fresh and it was so healthy. But of course, they shut it down immediately as soon as she got
there. I heard about her garden, but I had never been there. We have about 2 minutes left. And we just want to mention that food is a bioweapon now. You have to be very careful about what you're eating, what you're drinking, read the labels. Oh, and what you were saying about our kids. My kids are not allergic to really anything.
Did you breastfeed?
Just a tiny bit. But when I was growing up, because my grandmother raised me, every time we had a dinner, it was like a meat, a starch, and a vegetable. So that's what they ate. And I gave them fruit at night before bed. So I wasn't conscious of the deodorant, the lotions, the soaps. You know, we were using Dove and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the food maybe saved them. But they're no saints, and they just don't look the way these. They show people in high school in the hallway in front of their locker, girl, and you think they're out driving a minivan with a kid in the back seat. I don't know what is going on with these ones they're showing on the internet.
I promise you that it's something in their bodies that's deteriorating very rapidly and very fast. Because my kids get carded at like. They look at their license and like, you're 21? Oh, you're 22? I'm like, yeah, well, how old did you think? She looked 17, maybe 18, maybe. I'm like, really? They look that young. So I'm with it because I got called 37 this week.
Oh, well, that's a nice compliment, dear.
By some 40-year-old young guy. He was almost 40. He said, I know you got to be at least younger than me. And I said, well, how old are you? And he was like, well, I'm about to turn 40. I said, well, how old do I look? He's like, you probably like what, 37, 38? I was like,
That's how old you are.
Why exactly how old I am.
Anything different than that.
But I made him record him saying it. I said it to my kids. It was like, Ma, that's not you. He tried to eat, but he didn't. He left crumbs.
Oh, Lord. This is our timer. I'm just going to shut it off. And we are down to the end. It goes really quickly. But are there any final things you want to say before we wrap up?
Just if anyone can just take their time and start reading labels like I used to do, it definitely is time consuming, but it will definitely save your life. You do not want to go on the borderline of even having food poisoning. It is scary, especially at a certain age. I don't know if you're younger, you might can fight it off better, but a certain age, you definitely feel so weak, you don't know how you're going to overcome it. So I think because I do take vitamins and minerals, I think that might have helped also. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I think we need to, you know, start talking more about how we can overcome, you know, with self-care to fight this biological warfare that we have with this.
And that's been going on for a long time. So, I mean, I would just leave it there because I eat a little cleaner than most. So I don't want to be preaching stuff. But I think that Tora has just given some very good advice. It's a great starting point, and we all need to take heed. Thank you guys for watching us again, for joining us. We just love having you here. Put comments. You agree, you disagree, whatever you want to say, drop it in the comments. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us.
We'll see you next time at Kicking It with Kim and Tora.